We always have to run our life according to the book of Allah. If I'm mistaken, let us call a scholar or someone and ask him. No ill feelings, nothing. We call him. If you are correct, I'll follow what you are saying. Not because I'm the man, you have to listen to me. Doesn't work like that. No dictatorship, huh? You are following the truth. But for instance, in certain areas, yes, the man has to have the final word. Because he is the captain. He's steering the ship. And the ship cannot have two captains, right? What will happen if the ship has two captains? It will sink. It will drown. Okay? So that's why the man is finally, he is the one who decides. But of course, he should not be a dictator. He can consult his wife, asking, see her advice, what she thinks. Sometimes they come up with, mashallah, brilliant ideas. Like, you know, the Prophet ﷺ, he is our example. You know, in the Sulh of Hudaybiyah, the Hudaybiyah peace treaty signed, when the Prophet ﷺ was going for Umrah and the mushriks stopped him, and he decided, because the outcome of the negotiation, that Muslims should not go to Umrah this year. So they have now to remove their ihram. There is no way. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said to the Sahaba, remove your ihram. The Sahaba were reluctant. They didn't listen. They were reluctant. So the Prophet ﷺ got very angry. And he went to his tent and he said to Umm Salama, woe to the Muslims. The Muslims will be perished. Woe to them. I told them to remove their ihrams and they didn't. Umm Salama, he said, don't blame them, O Prophet of Allah. I know, she said, I know what they are going through. They are very upset, annoyed. Because they were wishing that they will go to Mecca. And the mushriks will stop them. So it's very hard for them. Something unbelievable happened. So what you should do, O Prophet of Allah? Who's saying this? Musalama. What you should do, don't talk to them. Go and call the barber, the one who's going to shave your hair, and start shaving your hair and leave them. Now the Sahaba, when they were reluctant, were they disobeying the Prophet ﷺ and rejecting his command? No. But the Sahaba, they were wishing and hoping, oh Allah, send wahi. Send wahi to the Prophet telling him, go! Against the will of the mushriks. That they were praying for that. Until the last minute. But now the Prophet ﷺ started shaving his hair. So there is no chance for wahi to come. So they started shaving each other. The narrator says, they were killing each other. Everyone is grabbing the head of the other one. Come, you are the one. Okay? So here the Prophet ﷺ, when his wife told him, do this, said this is a good idea. Okay? So not everything that comes from the side of the woman is should be rejected, alright? So we referred this matter, the Shaykh said, we referred the matter to that which Allah sent His Messenger ﷺ with. So when we checked the belief of this deviant group that they say Iman is only utterance and what? And conviction in the heart. That's it. So, and they throw away the acts and the actions of the limbs. He says, we refer the matter, this issue, to that which Allah sent His Messenger ﷺ with and revealed in His book and the Quran. So we found that He made the commencement of faith to be the testimony. The beginning of the Iman is what? The Shahada. Now a new revert. He comes here and he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. That's the beginning of the Iman, not the end. He just entered through the door. That's the commencement. That's the beginning. of the Imam to be the testimony that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is his messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the key. The Shahada is not the whole Iman, but that's the beginning of it. Are you following? But if this person, the revert, after saying the Shahada, he died, where will he go? Huh? Jannah. Straightforward. Why? Because all his sins, first of all, are washed. This is a credit. This is the privilege given to the revert. All his sins he committed in the past are washed. The moment he says the Shahada, all his black record is washed away. So he's now just born again. Just like the day that his mother delivered him. No sin at all. If he dies immediately, to the Jannah. Who says that? The Prophet ﷺ. Amr ibn al-As came to the Prophet ﷺ to become a Muslim. And then he stretched his hand to shake hand with the Prophet ﷺ, and then he pulled his hand. Said, "Why did you pull your hand?" He said, "I want to make a condition. Ashtarut. I want to make a condition." He said, "What is the condition?" He said, "I will become a Muslim on one condition, that all my sins in the past are forgiven." Because he fought the Prophet ﷺ, you know that. So this is my condition. The Prophet ﷺ told him, "O Amr, Ama Alimta, Anna al-Islam yajubu ma qablahu." O Amr, didn't you know that Islam washes away and wipes the sins that perpetrated or committed prior to Islam? Didn't you know this? So Islam washes all the sins a person committed in the past. Okay, how about the good things that he did in the past? The kuffar, they do good things. Don't they? They do. But because of their kufr, the disbelief, that will spoil everything. All the good deeds that they did in this life, they are filthy rags. They are in vain. They will not be accepted. Why they will not be accepted? Because of the disbelief, because of the kufr, because of the blasphemy. That will nullify everything. But if this person who was doing good things before Islam, and then he became a Muslim, all the good things he made and gained before Islam, okay, they will be added also to his record. And the bad deeds will be wiped away. The bad deeds, the evil deeds will be washed. And the good deeds will be added to his record. But the one, the kafir, or the non-believer, who did good deeds and then died, he will go to hell. And all these good deeds which he committed will not benefit him, will not bring him anything. Aisha, she asked the Prophet ﷺ about a man in the Jahiliyyah, his name is Ibn Jad'an. Ibn Jad'an was a generous man. He had massive pots cooking for the people, wayfarers, travelers. Those pots are so massive that they had ladders. The people will go by the ladders into the pot. And throughout the year, they are on the fire, feeding the people. So Aisha said, "O Prophet of Allah, did that help Ibn Jad'an?" He said, "No.
No. Because he didn't one day say, "Oh my Lord, forgive me my sins." Never. So, because some people, some Muslims, they say, you know, Mother Teresa, she was doing good deeds, you know. So she was helping the poor, etc. So maybe she'll go to the Jannah. You with her, you will go to hell. If you think Mother Teresa will go to heaven, then you'll be with her in hell. Yes. This is should be clear to every Muslim. You should know the violations of Islam. You know the violations of Islam. You don't. You know the nullifiers of faith. The things that will take you out of Islam. One of them, if you doubt the disbelief of the disbelievers. If you think Jews, Christians, Hindu, pagans, Buddhists, if you think that they go to heaven, then you are out of Islam. Why? Because Allah said they are going to heaven. So and you are saying they are going to heaven. Then you are saying the opposite of what Allah said. Where did Allah say so? Allah said in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ. Verily those who say God is Trinity, they are disbelievers. They have disbelieved. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ. Verily they have disbelieved. Those who say Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, is Allah, is God Almighty. Who says that? Christians. Our Lord Jesus Christ. So Allah said they are disbelievers. They are kuffar. And yet you find some Muslims, if you tell them the Christians are disbelievers, they go to hell. Say, I don't know. Or maybe he'll tell you are takfiri. What is this? There is ignorance among the Muslims. The same thing about the Jews. Allah said, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرُ بْنُ اللَّهِ. The Jews say, Ezra is the son of God. وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ اللَّهِ. And the Christians say, Jesus Christ is the son of God. No difference between the Jews and the Christians. Hindus, what they say? God is in everything. God is in the toilet, God is in this bottle, God is in the table is gold, everything is God. That's the belief of the Hindus. They call them pantheists. Pantheist is a person who thinks God is in everything. Everything is God. The same thing the Buddhists. There's no one on earth who worships Allah except the Muslims. No one. Name. You will not find anyone on earth worships Allah except the Muslims. That's why they are the target. And all of them against them. So the one who says now the Shahada, he becomes a Muslim. But then it's not enough. We have to ask him other things to do. Because many people, when one says the Shahada, that's it. They don't teach him the Salah. The one who said the Shahada yesterday, brothers, there should be a follow-up, okay? In the masjid there. I think the brother there, he saw them. No, okay. No one is there from the masjid, huh? He's here. A brother who said the Shahada, a revert, alhamdulillah. So there should be a follow-up. Anyone who comes and becomes a Muslim, we need to follow him. Teach him the Salah. Teach him the basics of Islam. And tell him to come to the masjid and follow him. Until you feel that now he can stand in solid ground. Then you say, okay. Not that he said the kalima and that's it. Many people, they go back. They go back to the kufr after saying the shahada. So you need the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith, which is in Bukhari and Muslim, when he sent Mu'adh to Yemen. He told him, I'm sending you to the people of the book in Yemen. So prepare yourself for them.
Okay, so should be equipped. That's always the da'iyah should be like that. You don't go to the people and you underestimate them. You say they know nothing. And then they fire you with questions. Okay? And then they spin your head. Okay? And you start, you don't know what to do. No. Always, when you go to the battlefield, you have to be ready for the fight. Well equipped. So and that's why he chose Mu'adh. Why Mu'adh? Why not Khalid ibn al-Walid? Because Khalid ibn al-Walid, that is not his business. The da'wah. Da'wah is an art. And it is intellectual deed and work. Khalid knows chopping heads. Yes, his work is good in that. In jihad, Khalid. Sword. He's the sword of Allah. That's Khalid. Okay? That's, and the Prophet ﷺ, he's the one who called him the sword of Allah. And Khalid, I'll tell you by the way, in one of the battles with the Romans, the commander of the Romans came and he said, I want to meet your commander. Because there are rumors around that he's the sword of God. So they thought that this sword which he holds came from God Almighty. That's why he defeats everyone. So he said, Khalid, I know you're a Muslim and the Muslim will never lie. Tell me the truth. Is it true that you got a sword from God Almighty? He said, no. But our Prophet called me the sword of God. He said, so why are you fighting us? He said, we heard that your bloods are very sweet and we're thirsty to drink your bloods. He told him, if one wants to become like you, what should he do? He said he has to say the Shahada, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, then he becomes like us. He said, that's it. He said, yes. He said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And he joined Khalid and now he's fighting the Romans. And he died as Shaheed. SubhanAllah. This is tawfiq min Allah. How his life was ended. So he chose the Prophet ﷺ, Mu'adh. Why Mu'adh? The Prophet ﷺ said, أَعْلَمُكُمْ بِالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ Mu'adh ibn Jabal. The most knowledgeable one among the Sahaba regarding halal and haram is Mu'adh. So Mu'adh is a scholar. The Prophet ﷺ said, Mu'adh يقدم العلماء يوم القيامة برتوى. Which means, Mu'adh leads the scholar. He's the head of the scholars, and the delegation of the scholars are behind him. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he wants to send someone for the da'wah, he would choose the most qualified one, not the ignorant one. So he sent Mu'adh to Yemen. What did he tell Mu'adh? Oh Mu'adh, when you arrive in Yemen, the first thing that he sorted out the priorities for him. He sorted out what? The priorities of the da'wah. He told him, the first thing that you should call the people to is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. The kalima. Which is logic. Very logic. How you come to a person who doesn't believe until him pray? Doesn't work. A person, for instance, he believes, but he doesn't pray. And at the same time, he's wearing a golden ring. Should I come to him and tell him, haram, the golden ring? He knows it's haram. I will not mention the golden ring. I'll tell him, pray, first of all. Every Muslim knows that it is haram. Every Muslim knows riba is haram. But yet they do it. Why? Because their iman is so weak. So weak, the iman. So if you want him to leave doing the haram, strengthen his iman. Then he will throw out the golden ring and leave the haram when the iman is picking up, increasing. For instance, now you tell your wife, television is haram, I have to remove it. You tell her, if you remove it, remove me as well. Okay? That means, if the television is taken away, I will go to my family. Divorce me. This is my best friend. I can't live without the telly. And you might go to a sheikh, who is a fanatic sheikh, they tell you, divorce her. And you divorce your wife. And she leaves a bunch of children behind. And this one is crying, and this one wants someone to change the diaper, and this one, and you go crazy. Because she left everything, and she went to her family. So what should you do? Television is evil, no doubt. And also divorcing her is another evil. So what you should do? Change the strategy, the tactic. Work on her iman. Strengthen her iman. Take her for Umrah to Mecca. And stay in nice hotel like, you know, intercontinental. You have intercontinental Mecca, but they call it Tawheed. So it's intercontinental. Or the Sheraton or Hilton. Stay there a few days with her, only you and her. And her iman will pick up, will increase. And when you are seeing that the tears are rolling on her cheeks, say, oh mother of so and so. Says, yes, my darling, yes, my husband. What do you want? Say, I want a small request. Say, what is it? It is granted, man. What is it? Say, that little devil will remove. That shaitan at home. Said, of course, why not? I will remove it by my own hand. I'll smash it, you realize. See, what happened? Why now she is ready? Tell me. Iman. Our problem, brothers and sisters, is lack of iman. Lack of iman. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said to Mu'adh, the first thing you call the people of Yemen, they were Jews and Christians, is to accept Islam. To the kalima. In one of the narrations, an yuwahhidu Allah, to believe in the oneness of God Almighty. Don't, we are in the course of da'wah here with the Christians, never talk about secondary issues. They might say, well, your prophet married more than four. I say, that is will come later to it. I will not let you consume my time. I will concentrate with the issue of the Tawheed. That's the most important thing. The oneness of God Almighty. Once he accepts the concept of Tawheed, everything will just come naturally. He will accept. So you have to shake his faith. You have to shake the doctrine that he has. The Holy Trinity. Destroy it. And call him to the oneness and the belief in the oneness of Allah, the God Almighty. Once he accepts that, then everything will come by default. Then he says, if they, the people of Yemen, accept from you the Tawheed, the belief in the oneness of God, then move the second step, the Salah. Not to call them to the prayer when they don't believe. What's the use? If someone prays and he doesn't believe in the oneness of Allah, will Allah accept his prayer? No. So now he accepted the Tawheed, then you move the second step, and that is the Salah. And if they accept the Salah, then move the further, the Zakah, and tell them that Allah imposed upon them a charity or Zakah to be taken from the rich and given to the poor. In the same land. In the same land we take from the rich and give the poor. Only when we have surplus, then we move it to another place. So this person now, who became a Muslim through the Shahada, Then we have to teach him other things. The Salah, the Siyam, the Zakah. And we go step by step. Because there is a problem here, which is some brothers or some people, when one becomes a Muslim, they want him to learn Islam overnight. They teach him everything. So the guy finds it, he feels it's too much for him to comprehend. No, we take it slowly, step by step. For instance, he just few hours became a Muslim, now they will come, have you circumcised? Yes, true or not? He says no. He said, then your salah is invalid. Who said so? Yes, they are saying anything. They don't know that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he got himself circumcised at the age of 70. So was the salah of Ibrahim invalid? 70 years. At that age, he circumcised himself. He's the one who circumcised himself. With what? Not with the blade, with the axe. With the axe. So, when a person becomes a Muslim, we not mention the circumcision for him. He'll be afraid. Maybe he will leave Islam. Oh, later on, his salah is correct. His life with his wife is correct. It's nothing he's doing haram. Then after that, of course it is farz, it should be done. But we wait until the iman is what? Is it strong? A man came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, I love Islam. I like it. But I have a weakness. I can't get rid of it. Don't worry. Just become a Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ told him that. Just become a Muslim. Then that weakness you will be able to overcome it and get rid of it. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said. Imagine now a non-Muslim came and said, I want to become a Muslim, but I have a problem. I can't leave alcohol. Say, no. There's no way. Right? There's no way. You have to leave alcohol. Otherwise, there is no Islam. And the Prophet ﷺ is saying the opposite to the man. He said, just become a Muslim and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, when you taste the iman and the sweetness of iman, then you will be by yourself, you will leave the haram. But when we don't know, that's why the da'wah is an art, and we don't know the deen, we will make such mistakes and turn people away from Allah's deen. Imagine that I say, okay, you are alcoholic, okay, no problem, become a Muslim. You can carry on drinking your alcohol. But just become a Muslim. And he died. After that. Which is better for him? To die as a Muslim, alcoholic Muslim, or to die as a Christian alcoholic? Tell me. Of course. So here the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, so we found that he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, made the commencement of the iman to be the testimony. That's the beginning of it. And the testimony that no one, no God should be worshipped, worthy of being worshipped except Allah. And that Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is his messenger. What time is the Maghrib? Okay. And the Prophet ﷺ remained in Mecca. And the Prophet ﷺ remained in Mecca after his prophethood for 10 years. 10 years in Mecca. Or 10 odd years. Calling to this testification. In Mecca, he was calling to the Tawheed. No Siyam, no Zakah. Okay? Only to the Tawheed. Most of these ordinances and teachings revealed in Medina. Revealed where? In Medina. So the Prophet ﷺ was laying the foundation in Mecca. And And at that time, nothing else was prescribed to be part of faith, except the Tawheed. And one of the main characteristics of the Meccan surahs, you know the Quran, Madani surahs and Meccan surahs. The Meccan surahs are the surahs that were revealed before Hijrah. And the Madani surahs are the ones that revealed after the Hijrah. So this is the criteria. So the one who responded to this call in Mecca, the one who responded to this call in Mecca was a mu'min. True enough, was a believer. And it was not necessary to call him anything else but a believer. Because he accepted what the Prophet ﷺ offered him. And what the Prophet ﷺ called him to believe in. And zakah, or fasting, or the other regulations of the religion were not obligatory upon him. Because they were not prescribed yet. Right? They were not imposed yet. The scholars have explained this by saying that this leniency, there was a leniency, and there was a tolerance and flexibility. At that time was a mercy and kindness from Allah to His servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the people step by steps. They were pagans. They were idol worshippers. They were alcoholic. Okay? All the bad things they were doing, the Arabs, before Islam. So Allah took them step by step, gradually, to remove them from that pit of sinfulness. The scholars have explained by saying that this leniency at that time was a mercy and kindness from Allah to His servants. Aisha said, the early verses and ayat that came down, they were ayat which they were softening the heart. Ayat to soften the heart. Not ayat about the khamr, halal, haram. No. This happened in Medina. Had Allah revealed in the beginning, don't drink alcohol, Aisha said people would not leave it. But now, when they are in Medina, they are ready for everything. Leave alcohol, leave alcohol. Tell the women to cover themselves, cover themselves. They are ready now to accept everything. Because they had just come out of the Jahiliyyah and its harshness, and he had charged them with all of the obligations, then their hearts would have become averse to the revelation and their bodies would have felt burdened. What does this mean? If Allah is the wise, had Allah told them, don't do this, don't do that, that would be too much for them. And that might be a reason for them not to accept Islam. But nothing of that like that was there. Only verses calling them to the belief in the oneness of God. Verses that increase the piety and the fear of God Almighty in their hearts. And this we should learn something here for us in the da'wah. For a new revert. We teach him the basics of the deen. And then we teach him things that will soften his heart. You know, people in the West, actually, they are materialistic. And their life is very material. And they have a problem with the spirit. They have a spiritual vacuum in their hearts. Okay? So when this person comes, that vacuum has to be filled. So we have to elevate his spiritual level through the raqayiq, the things that softens the heart. Not to start giving intellectual things or try to take him straightforward to the aqidah issues. Asma'an, sifatan, this and... No. That's wrong approach. First of all, things that will elevate the iman, will make him love Allah. Things that will make him love the salah. thinks that will make him love the path to do good deeds. That's why many of the reverse, they become Sufis. You know this? And you find many of them, they are following the Sheikh Nazm. You know Sheikh Nazm? Don't know? Okay. He's one of the leaders of the Sufis in the world. Naqshbandi. Many Sufi in the world, Sufi order. You find many of the people reverts who became Muslims, they followed them. Why? Because the Sufis, they try to fill that spiritual vacuum which they lack. Of course they fill it with something wrong by singing and dancing. Okay? Just, you know, like in the church, hallelujah, hallelujah, jumping up and down. Oh, the spirit is going through me, you know that. So they find the same thing there in the Sufis. They will be dancing, jumping up and down, and they will feel something which they, that is filling their spiritual vacuum. Because when they came to those who are upon the right track, they started feeding them stuff which is something above their heads. Or they found them, they are talking about each other. Imagine a revert become a Muslim. Second day, he has to know jarh and ta'dil. This is defiance. This is, say, what is this? The Muslims are not one hand. And he'll find the Muslim, don't go with that group. Don't go with that group. So what is going on? Okay? He will find things that will put him off. This is a sickness among us, the Muslims. So see the wisdom of Allah. How He changed the lives of the mushriks. First of all, softening their hearts and planting the seed of the iman in their hearts. So He made the faith that was obligatory upon them at that time, affirmation, only to believe in the oneness of God. Affirmation with the tongues only, and this was made, and this is what made them to be believers during the whole of the Meccan period. Yes, they said the kalima and that's it. No other obligations. An odd month in Medina after the Hijrah. The other things were, and also in early days of Mecca, Medini period, even after the migration, the situation remained the same. Then other obligations started coming one by one. Then, when the people had returned to Islam, and their desire for it became good and proper, Allah increased for them in their faith that they changed the prayer direction to the Kaaba after they had been praying to Bayt al-Maqdis. In Medina, the Salah. So they started praying, Salah. And Allah told them, pray towards Bayt al-Maqdis. Bayt al-Maqdis. That is in the beginning. Then that was abrogated and they were told to face the Kaaba. We start at this point, inshallah, and we open floor for questions, or if there are misconceptions or misunderstanding, and we'll continue. Continue? After surah? Anyway, we'll see. If you are ready, otherwise, we'll stop at this point. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.